Thank you all for the opportunity to come and speak this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, just kind of use this as a springboard. But ever since I spoke at Mountaintop back in May, I've been thinking about relationships and what the Lord wants from us as Christians. I spoke on the Gospel of Luke, and, you know, you read through the Gospel, you read of everything Jesus went through here on the earth and how he was crucified, and I asked myself, what does God want from us as Christians? Like, he doesn't just, I mean, obviously he wants to save us, but what does he want from us? And the answer that I found is he wants a relationship with us. And so this morning, I kind of like to look at a little bit a relationship and our relationship with the Lord. But just to start, we'll read a few verses in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll just read verse 22 through 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God, we'll start at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your scriptures. We just pray that you'd help us to learn and grow closer to you through this, and that you would be glorified this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
But I've been thinking about relationships and what that the Lord wants. And in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ, when he's has his high priestly prayer, and he's talking to God the Father, he says in John chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you see, Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life, and that life eternal is to know him, the only true God, and to have a relationship with him. And so, if we look in Genesis chapter 3, when the fall of man, and it came to my mind when I was thinking about relationships in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 7. And this is after the devil has tempted Eve. She took the fruit and she ate it, and Adam also did. It says, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not, thou shouldest not eat? And I was thinking about, we see the Lord, Adam and Eve sinned, and they immediately hid, and were embarrassed to be, or they were afraid to be with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, because they knew they had sinned against him. But the part that always caught my eye was, we see the Lord come walking in the cool of the day. And it seems like this isn't the first time he had done this. It seemed like, it doesn't say it, but it seems like the Lord would come and spend time with them in the garden until they sinned, and that was broken. And he had a relationship with them, and immediately sin broke that relationship, and they no longer had that relationship with the Lord. But as we read in John 17, Jesus Christ came so that we could have that relationship back. He came so that God could have a relationship with us, and so that our sin would no longer separate us from Him. But I said all that to get to Enoch. As we read in Genesis chapter 5, we know Adam and Eve sinned and they fell, but then as we go through the genealogy, this is the first person we see in it talking about having a close relationship with God. And as I was studying it, I looked at a commentary by Alexander McLaren called The Expositions of the Holy Scriptures. And he brought out, there was, in the Old Testament, there's three different ways that people walk with the Lord. So that's what I'd like to look at this morning, the three different aspects of walking with the Lord. The first one is Enoch here. We see it says Enoch walked with God. I'll just go ahead. The second one we find is in Genesis 17:1. God tells Abraham to walk before Him. And then the third one is in Deuteronomy 13:4. God speaking to Israel, and He tells them to walk after Him. And so that's what I'd like to look at this morning, is that there's three aspects of walking in a relationship with the Lord. So we'll start with Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. We see it says that Enoch walked with God. And you have, you think of someone walking together, it's a close relationship. In Amos 3:3 it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And it's a rhetorical question. You know, two can't walk together unless they have the same point of view. I think of marriage. It's pretty recent for me, but you, like, if you don't have the same point of view and the same goals in life, it's hard to walk together. But we see a companionship. And we also read about Noah. It says that Noah walked with God in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 9, we'll read verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." And so we see to walk with God is to have the same view as God. And it's a continuous thing. It's a relationship. Going back to Enoch, we read of Enoch again in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 is the next time we find Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was found not because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so Enoch walked with God by diligently seek the Lord through faith. He had a close relationship with Him. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sorry, I got a bunch of verses. I don't have to turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And starting at verse 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech ye, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that everyone should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor, not in lust and concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have forewarned you and testified. For the God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. And we can see God, he has called us to walk in holiness, not after the things of the world, but to follow after the things that he loves. So to walk with the Lord is to know the Lord, to know what he loves and what he hates, and to follow after those things, to strive to be holy and to be like him. And so as Christians, we know, as we saw there, we're called to be holy, to follow after him, to walk with the Lord, to know his commandments, to know the things he loves and the things he hates, and to follow after that. And that brings us to the second point in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And these all kind of tie together, but it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." And so we see God speaking to Abraham here, and he says, walk before him and be thou perfect. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of walking before is whenever we were kids and we were with mom, she never wanted us to walk behind her because then she could never see what we were doing. But she wanted us to walk in front of them so she could keep an eye on us and know what we were doing. But we think of the Lord and we know that he's omnipresent and he knows everything. And so if we live our lives before the Lord, walking before him, knowing that he is his present and he is watching what we do, it'll help us to live holy and perfect lives. In Psalm chapter 139, David writes about the Lord and how he knows everything about him. I used to have it memorized, but I let it go and I don't have it memorized anymore, but and we'll read all of it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light before me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. And if we skip down to verse 21, it says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know me. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We see David here talking to the Lord, and he's saying the Lord knows everything about him, and there's nowhere that he can hide from him. And we see him and he's walking before the Lord. In the last few verses we read, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." So he's living his life in a way that's open before the Lord. He's not trying to hide. As we saw Adam and Eve when they sinned, they immediately hid from the Lord. But David here is living his life open before the Lord in a way that he knows, as we saw in the first point, we know what the Lord hates, know what the Lord loves. And if we live a life open before Him, and we please Him through our walk, if we live it open before Him, knowing that He is there, and He sees all, and He knows all. And so we should be living a life open before Him. You know, you think of the joke a lot of times, when me and Caleb used to work with us, if we were working by ourselves and Dad would come walking around the corner and be like, "Oh, the boss man's here, we better get busy." The same point of view, the Lord's always with us, so we should always be doing the things that the Lord loves. And that brings us to the last point. I didn't write down the reference. As Deuteronomy 13:4. Forgot to write it down. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. And this is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him." And so here we see a pursuit of the Lord. We see to follow after the Lord. So we've seen to walk with the Lord, and we've seen to walk before the Lord, but we're also, another aspect is to walk after. I've searched the phrase to walk after, and there's lots of different things in the Bible that we could walk after. Jeremiah talks a lot about Israel walking after other gods. Jude in verse 16 talks about people walking after their own lust. 2 Peter also talks about walking after their own lust. So there's many things in the world that we can walk after and to pursue. But we are to walk after the Lord, to pursue the Lord. And the example that came to mind for me is, if most people know, I really like to hunt. It's like my favorite thing to do in the world. I mean, like, some people think I'm a little crazy. I mean, me and Caleb drove all the way to Idaho and back just to hunt elk. But when I started, the fall I started dating Kaylee, my point of view changed, and I no longer was focused on hunting. I think the opening day of bow season, when I started dating her, I didn't go hunting. I was with Kaylee instead. My focus changed, and my primary focus was on Kaylee. It was no longer on hunting. And so to walk after the Lord is to put everything else aside and to follow after Him. Read a few verses in Psalms. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And we see it in the Psalms that he wrote. In Psalm 63, verse 8, it says, "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." And then in Psalm 42, verse 1, y'all don't have to turn to him, it's just reading one verse. Psalm 42, verse 1, As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And we see David here, he longed after God, and he followed, says, my soul follows hard after thee. And so we are to walk after the Lord and to pursue Him, to know Him, to communicate, and to learn more about Him. We can't just walk and just know, well, I know enough about Him. But no, it's a continual pursuit to walk after Him, to know Him better, and to become more like Him, for Him to be our center, the center of our focus. We know in the Gospels that Jesus tells us, you can't serve two masters. We can't pursue the world and pursue Jesus, but if we know the Lord and we know His desires, and we can pursue after that to know Him better and to live a life holy for Him. So we need to follow after Him with a singular purpose of knowing Him more. And so these are the three ways or aspects that I've found of following the Lord. One is to know Him, to know His likes, what He loves, what He hates, to know what He wants from us, to live a holy, He wants us to live a holy life, and to live that life before Him, open before Him, not hiding in sin, but open before the Lord. We should walk, and we should be our singular purpose to know Him more, not to just know Him well enough, but to know Him more. And at the end of our lives, we would have the testimony of Enoch, as we read in Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read it again so I don't misquote it. But we saw his testimony that it says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. So we see that he was walking with God, and he lived a life that pleased God. And this was in a time when the world was wicked. We know just a generation or so later is when God judged the world with Noah. And so he had a testimony to the world of being someone that pleased God, that walked with God. And so, in the end, we should strive to be live a life and walk as those to be the end goal to please God. That in when we see the Lord, we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'd like to close with 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at verse 7, this is Paul speaking, and I pray that each of us can say this at the end of our lives. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. So we live our lives knowing the Lord, knowing what He wants from us, walking with Him, but also walking before Him. We see it says, the Lord, the righteous judge. We know He's the righteous judge, and He will judge our lives on how we live for Him. So we should live our lives knowing Him and living a life open before Him and a life in pursuit of Him. And that in the end, we can say, as Paul did, I fought a good fight, that our testimony will be that we were ones that pleased God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these Old Testament examples. We thank you that just when we sin, that you didn't leave us there, but that you sent your Son so that we could know you and have life eternal. We pray that each one of us would live a life that is pleasing to you and open before you, and that we would pursue you and not pursue the things of the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.